Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm going to ask Dan to come up now. Will you give Dan Fox a hand? Will you welcome him? So excited to hear the word of God. God bless you, Dan.
I'm just going to open up my Bible to a passage we're going to come to in a little bit. You know, I usually open with a joke. There's this couple from California. You know, Californians, they have a couple of children and they name one of them Mind Your Own Business. Two sons. Mind Your Own Business. Can you imagine? That's... And the other one they name Trouble. That doesn't sound very promising. But anyway, they're little boys and they decide to play hide and seek. And, you know, they live in a big city. So they're out there, you know, Trouble's hiding and his brother, Mind Your Own Business, is searching the bushes and behind the hedges, and then he can't find him, and he starts looking under cars, thinking maybe he's just laying under a parked car along the street. And then police officer notices this and comes over and is just wondering, walks up to him and says, what are you doing? Just playing a game. He says to him, what's your name? Mind your own business. Oh, he's not happy with that response at all. You looking for trouble? Yeah. Anyway, I heard that one long, long ago. So, is my opening screen? It is. Walking in the Shadow of the Savior. You know, we sung The Message, that last song. Man, that was good. You know, we forget sometimes when we read the stone's been rolled away. Hell, death, and the grave have no part in you. I really think sometimes we don't think about it. That we have eternal life now. I mean, if you've made Jesus Lord of your life, you have eternal life now. You will not die. They may say someday, hey, Dan passed away. I just went to a different address. Just moved. That's all. No difference. Yeah, there's a flesh suit that I'm living in, and someday that will be resurrected. But me, if I go first, I'll see you there. I'll be waiting for you. I'm telling you, it is a reality that sometimes we seem to forget. We pay so much attention, and it's no surprise. I mean, we're bombarded all the days of our life with this natural world. Wake up with a bit of a headache because we didn't get enough sleep. You know, things like that. That just make us think so naturally. But honestly, if we'd really focus more on what really matters. We're so focused on the job, the career, the finances, the home, the car. And God's saying, you know, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the other things, he'll take care of them. They'll work out. And I'm telling you from experience, I am not the wealthiest man you'll ever meet. But I've put God first, and just listen to his lead, and that's all I can say to you, is listen to what he's asking you to do. Don't try to imitate somebody else. I've followed his lead and followed his lead, and through the years, we've had struggles and ups and downs, but our life is on this plane towards more and more Christ-likeness, and he blesses you for things you don't even pray about. One time, a couple come up to us and asked, would you be offended if we offered you a vacation to Cancun, all paid for? Well, I'm not stupid. I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I said, no, that wouldn't offend me at all. And we went to Cancun. And it wasn't a Motel 6. We walked through this luxury 5-star hotel, and they're carrying all our bags. There's like 4 or 5 people grab our luggage and take us through. We walk through that hotel, by the pool, to this house on the beach that is just breathtaking. And the living room is as big as my main floor. And it was beautiful. And out our windows is the ocean and the beach. And there's beach all around us on both sides. It was amazing. God does that kind of thing. And I am not that special. We weren't looking for it. We just keep putting him first and putting him first. And we sacrifice a little of this. We spend our resources and our finances on the kingdom as much as we can. We do things on our own that just others we see a need, they're not doing, just because God puts it on our heart. And we are not special. This is just how believers live. If you think about it, that we already, when we were sinners, when we were at our worst, when I was at my worst, Jesus called me and he'd already saved me. He'd already gone to the cross. He already had me in mind and he didn't wait till I did something good. And then when you fall in love with him and you get to know him and you start walking with him, he starts to show you that, hey, all of these things that you struggled with in the natural, he's already paid for. There's already an answer. You know, it says in the Word, and it's not in my notes, we'll just stay at the opening screen for a while, but it says in the Word that he is the author, which means he kind of wrote out the plan, the story, and the finisher of our faith, of your faith. So you might think you don't have quite enough faith to believe for this or that, or that God doesn't always hear your prayers. Well, Jesus is working on it. And when you see quality work from a wood finisher, a carpenter, a man with years of experience and absolute love for his craft, the kind of guy that if there's a gap, a tenth of a millimeter on a piece of wood, he'll throw that away and redo the project because it's his eye that sees it. Regardless if anyone else notices, he knows what he's serving up. And when you see work from a craftsman like that, it's breathtaking. The painstaking, just the decisions about what piece of wood gets inlaid where so that the grain looks right with that grain and this piece looks right here and right there. And when you see that kind of workmanship, it is amazing. Hand rubbed for days to get the right shine, the right gloss. And Jesus is the finisher of your faith. How much more can we rejoice when we run into troubles or trials, knowing that while we're on our knees, Jesus is working on your faith so you can get the result you need. Don't doubt that you're enough. It's not up to us. We don't muster up the faith to believe. It's Christ in you. You're in him. He's in you. We're in the Father. It's him in us, and he does the works. The same thing was said by Jesus of himself. It's the Father within me that doeth the works. It wasn't Jesus. And he lived it completely right, and he still knew it was the Spirit of God inside of him that does the works, and he'll do it for you. He'll answer your prayers. He'll help you with your family, your kids, your career, your education, your finances, when you just put him first place. He'll surprise you with stuff. Had a lady give me a few suits. Just wanted to buy me suits. Years ago, used to wear suits. Everybody used to wear suits in church years ago. I was a baby Christian, just on fire for Jesus. And I mean, God does stuff that we don't expect if we just go after him. And don't worry about stuff. Be diligent with your job. Be a good employee. Don't embarrass the name of Jesus because you're a Christian. People should look at you and say, well, they're a pretty nice guy and they don't tell dirty jokes and they're just a good person. They're kind. They're patient. Yeah, they should say that about us. We need to work on ourselves because we represent Christ. But it's putting him first place that really matters. And he takes care of all the other things. We shouldn't embarrass him. Yeah, we need to be diligent. But nonetheless, God will take care of you. It's not your effort alone that's going to make you successful. He'll open doors you never dreamed of or that you have no right because Jesus made it your right. But you sure didn't earn it on your own. Isn't that right, Pastor? I'm on television, on the Miracle Channel. I didn't pay for that. And I know me. And I know my past. And you know what? God's been so good to me over the years. But I think this, what I came from, and what I used to be like, and I won't ask, my wife can attest to this, I was probably looked upon as one of the most likely to not succeed. Just was a legend in my own mind and wanted to be a rock star. And man, God did so much for that. And to see me preaching on TV, I got saved watching a preacher on TV and I wasn't looking for it. I was hungover, just flipping through the channels. And the Lord grabbed hold of me. And then he puts me on TV preaching to other people, helping them and encouraging them and telling them about how great Jesus really is. Because he is. So I want you to, the whole gist of this message today about this Easter season and what we're coming to is really that building our life can be compared to a structure, building a structure. It's not all done in a day. This is an ongoing thing. And even though I've been walking with the Lord some time, I've had some ups and downs, but it always seems, like I said, it's on an increasing plane towards Christ likeness more and more all the time. I keep working on this inner man. Keep asking him to help me forgive, to not be burdened down and carry offense towards someone that's wronged me, but to really develop the character of Christ. And yet, you don't get it in a day. It is a lifelong commitment. Now, building a structure, you don't start on the third or fourth floor. Now, some believers try to do that in their Christian life, but we start right. We need to be founded on the rock, which is Jesus. And all the work in building a structure, that real important work, the groundwork below ground, is the most important part of the structure. And none of us get to see any of that. What's being done on the inside of our hearts by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, what's changing on the inside of us? People don't get to see that. They get to see the effects. They get to see later on. But the real development is below ground, and it's backfilled, and no one ever gets to appreciate it. But that's what's going to support the structure. One floor, two floors, three floors, four floors, until it's complete and the building's complete. But that groundwork is the most important thing. That's why I always say, have a journal. Take notes. Every time preacher speaks, take notes. When you're watching a guy on TV, take notes. When you're in your prayer closet and you feel something or hear something, you sense something from God, write it down. We grow. And if we don't remember what we learned last month, last year, then we got to learn it all over again. But we want to keep progressing. We want to really grow. And it's important to grab hold of the things, take serious the things that the Lord puts before us, because he did it for a reason. He does it for a purpose. It's not by accident that you're here and that pastor's our pastor. It's where we fit and where God knows it's best for us. And we're blessed. We're blessed to be here. Let's make it easy for the pastor. He's our shepherd, right? So let's let him lead us to green pastures and nice, calm, clean waters and protect us from lions and bears. And let's not make it difficult when he says, you should be involved in midweek. Then you should be involved in midweek. When he says, you should sign on the little clipboards when they come around and become part of what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not just about me and you. And it's about everyone and how we can make a difference and an impact in the kingdom. So when the structure goes up floor by floor, it's much like our life, see. It takes time. We need to remember, always remember, we're in this for the long haul. When you find yourself with struggles, just remember that this struggle is a temporary. We see the natural things sometimes and it almost tries to discourage us and pull us back. But this is just temporary stuff. You already are an eternal being. Your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These natural, physical circumstances have no bearing on things of eternal value and the things that really matter. We just deal with them as best we can. Ask God for peace and grace and strength. Walk through them as best we can, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He hears your prayers. And he will help you. Now, sometimes as believers, we're newly born Christians, and we're trying to believe for things that are just way out there. And I'm not going to say there's something wrong with that. But your faith may not be at fifth level, fifth floor faith yet. Just keep believing. Don't be discouraged by people that say, oh, you can't believe it. That's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You got to just believe. But know that it takes time. Some of these things take time. And a lot of time, it's the growth in us. And all of a sudden, you realize the manifestation of what you were believing for years. Now, like I said earlier, I was saved watching a televangelist. And I knew within the first 2-3 years of being a Christian, I'm supposed to be on TV preaching the gospel. Now, how does a little ordinary guy with very small income get on TV preaching the gospel? Well, you just keep believing and keep serving and keep doing and just don't worry about it. You just keep believing and praying and serving and then God does it. Well, it took a lot longer than I thought it would, but it doesn't matter. I've had a great ride all the way along. I'm in the shadow of my Savior. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, and he casts a big shadow. The things you're believing for now, let me tell you about this one lady. I know this lady. Went to church with this lady. This lady, single mom, worked in fast food, barely made ends meet. Sons grew up, helped her. They a couple of them were truckers and stuff. And always had to, help mom a little bit. Mom's believing for a new vehicle. And they're natural thinking, well-meaning, believing sons, and they're a great family. Don't get me wrong. They're all believers and stuff, but she's like just faith way out there, knows exactly what vehicle and what color she wants. Well, they're telling her, it doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't work like that. You just sow and pray and claim this is mine in Jesus' name. And they're like discouraging her. No, they don't mean to discourage her, but they're saying, Mom, it doesn't work like that. You just need to just get, be more realistic. And she's getting bombarded like this all the time. But you know what she did? She just put more of her faith tapes. She still has cassettes, but CDs. And this is just a little while ago, not that long ago. 5 years. She's praying and claiming this exact vehicle she wants. Guess what happens? Someone gives a bunch of money to buy this lady a vehicle. They give it through the church anonymously. I want to buy this lady a vehicle. And guess what? Just a few doors down from her across the street, the vehicle she wants in the color she wants is in the driveway. And so one of the people that she prays with regularly in the church, he happens to be a realtor, walks over and knocks on the door, asks if they'd like to sell it. And said, yeah, we were thinking of selling it, actually. It's just a couple of years old, and it's beautiful. And it was... needless to say, the deal they worked out was exactly the money that they had been donated to buy this vehicle and give it to this lady. 5 years, she believed, in the face of everybody saying, excuse me, it doesn't work that way. It does work that way. Because it works any way the Holy Spirit says for you to believe. Not for everyone else. And it's not all about stuff and things. This lady was praying all the time, faithful at church, giving of her, of what she made. It wasn't enough most times to just pay the bills. She still tithed, still gave. And God always made a way and just squeaked through. But she got what she believed for. And that's amazing to me. If a single mom can do it in Lethbridge, we can all do it. Whether it's for a loved one you're believing for, and you see them running further and further from God, and getting deeper and deeper, don't quit believing. Don't quit praying. Don't quit standing on the promises of God. Don't quit. No matter what it is. There's a lot more important things than a vehicle. Well, we grow this life, like living life. Living by the word is a lifelong growing process. And we may take years to get to that fifth floor, but we'll get there. And we got to remember that we plant and we water and we wait and then the harvest comes. We don't plant and then next day we have a harvest, right? We know that in Southern Alberta. We know that well. Well, John 10:10 says a thief comes to steal. Oh, I got it in the Message version. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came, so that's Jesus, I came that they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Doesn't that sound good? Well, I'll tell you something. Most important is the spiritual condition that we're in. But God cares about your house. He cares that you have a safe, reliable vehicle. He cares that you're happy. Yeah, imagine that. Happy Christians. Honestly, we have eternal life. Shouldn't we be like the happiest people there is? Nothing can rob us of that. No matter what we face, I know where I'm going when I leave here. Nothing can steal that. More life. Living life to the full. I have some things I want. There's this fishing boat, and I know exactly what I want. And I want to see it sitting in my RV pad in the back of my house. Yeah, there's a few things I want. But I seek first the kingdom and I just keep going. And I know that sooner or later, it gives God good pleasure to give me the desires of my heart. Sooner or later, that fishing boat is coming. I know it. Preferably sooner. But God's timing is impeccable. Because when you have a breakthrough, when someone that you've been praying for comes to Christ after years of believing, when someone that's had bad reports and this is going to be a lifelong thing and it's going to cut your life short and they're going to die of this, when they get a healing and the doctor says, we don't know how this has happened, but it is, there's no sign of it anymore. When you get a breakthrough like that, it doesn't matter how long it took. You rejoice. It doesn't matter how much fighting and prayer and time it took. It's never, that took so long. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Breakthrough is the most awesome thing. And you know, if you just stick with him, just stick with him. Jesus paved the way for us to live this life victoriously. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Think about it. All sickness and disease, go look at Deuteronomy 28 sometime. And about halfway through the chapter, you'll start seeing the curse and all the stuff listed out. Sickness and diseases and poverty and lack and stress and anxiety. It's all there. But when you look at the blessings, none of that stuff's listed. But you look at the curse, oh, you'll see all the stuff that everybody wants to get away from them and avoid. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. When we mess up, we don't pay the price by having sickness come on us. We don't pay the price by having poverty come on us. When we mess up, we run back to Jesus. We're as clean can be. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Man, that's awesome. Freed from the power of sin. Sin does not have the power to hold you down and drag you back into its ugly lifestyle. You may have come out of something awful. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fall back in. Oh, you might slip or trip, run right back to Jesus. You will not return to sin. It does not have the power over you anymore that it once had. You have the power and authority over it. Oh, you can yield to your flesh. You can cave and walk away from Jesus, but it doesn't have the power. It's really up to us. All the power in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus, and he's commissioned us to go in his name. That sin does not have the power to bring you down. It doesn't have the power to bring back those old ways and those old habits. You're loved by God. Think about that. You think sometimes you're not good enough, or you don't come to church that often, or you're not that involved, or maybe maybe these blessings and these good things that the preacher talks about are only for those that really do everything right. You're loved by God. You're loved so much that he sent his only son to die in your place so that you could live. How much more does he have to show you that he loves you? And that he hears your prayers every day. That he hears the cries of your heart even when you don't know how to say them. When he knows your future and he knows exactly where he wants you to go. And sometimes we decide we want to do this fleshly thing or this thing or do things our own way or we got this idea. And yet God sees exactly what he wants you to do. And he keeps encouraging you with a friend here, a preacher's message there, a word from God here and there. And he keeps trying to direct you back on the path, not because he's got some set rules that he just wants you to follow like a good little robot or soldier. No, he's got a great plan for your life, a destiny and a purpose that you're not going to fulfill unless you're walking with him. And he'll just keep tugging you. You'll walk, do your own thing, but he'll keep tugging at you to get you on the path. He has a plan A for you, and it's always plan A. And when you mess up and he has to tug you back on, he takes you back to plan A. There's no plan B. You're more than a conqueror. That's what the word says. We'll get to that in a bit. We're called with a holy calling. We're temples of God's Holy Spirit. Yeah, think about that sometime. You know, we often are running around looking to get healed or get a miracle, and God's saying, no, the Holy Spirit's in you. They should be running to you and grabbing the hem of your garment. The Holy Spirit's in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies. They should be running to you. Think about that. The Spirit of the living God, the one that created everything that exists, is sitting in your chair. I'm looking at any one of these seats, and there's the Holy Spirit. A man, a woman of God, that has the power that created the universe, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is right there in their hands. Every one of us. And we struggle sometimes because we're focused on so much earthly junk all the time. Instead of just running with Jesus full tilt, man, he's got so many ideas for your life. So many doors and opportunities he wants to bring you through. Just bless the socks off you. Remember? Seek first the kingdom. All these other things will be added to you. All the things that people in the world are struggling after will be added to you. Just because you're seeking him with all your heart, he'll just keep adding stuff. Oh, he's a good God. And I'm telling you, this time of year, this Easter, there's a reason we celebrate. It's worth celebrating. Because he paid the price for all this stuff for us at the cross. And when that stone rolled away, everything changed. Everything changed. You know, I saw a movie years ago, and it is funny. And there's this one scene where this guy's saying to this lady about how powerful, you know, how much ability he has to keep her alive because he's a special secret agent. But he has this one scene, and it reminds me so much of us and Jesus, what our life is like with him and what our life is like without him. And the choice is always up to us on a daily basis and even a moment by moment. It's with him or it's without him. And when you have a decision to make about what you're going to do, if you're going to do this or you're going to do that, with him or without him, life is like that. It's filled with choices. Are you going closer to him? Are you going to walk with him, without him? With him, without, life is better with him. Life is like this without him. I don't know if you want to stay there or just visit once in a while, but I like with him much better. With him is way better. How do we live in this kind of victory today? Well, I've only got a few minutes to tell you, but you know what? It's all we need because we sung it before we started. Realize first, life is a marathon, not a sprint. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Run with endurance. This is a lifelong thing. Don't be discouraged because somebody at church said something bad about you or talked behind your back. Don't be offended. Realize we make mistakes. Love them anyway. Just chalk it up to their immaturity or their ignorance of just the presence of God in a moment. Because you know what? We all mess up. Love them anyway and forgive them. Just walk in forgiveness. Man, that is the greatest source of the power of God flowing through us, is when we're connected to love and forgiveness continually. We forgive people even when they don't deserve it. We don't wait for them to apologize. We got to look past it. We'll never get anywhere with God if we can't live like that. And it is not easy, but it is right. And our emotions don't always, and our feelings don't always change when we make a decision to forgive someone. Every once in a while, you'll feel those feelings come up, and she's like, ugh, you know, because they really, that was nasty. And you just have to remind your own mind, take every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Remind your own mind, no, I chose to forgive them. Your flesh has emotions. It wants to vent. Your spirit man says, no. Jesus said, if I can't forgive them, he doesn't forgive me. I've got to forgive them. Whether I feel like it or not, I choose to. And you keep dealing with the emotions and keeping them in check until it's no longer there anymore. You keep after it. You keep on working on this man on the inside to be more and more Christ-like on the outside. And oh, this is the way to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about planting a seed and they're taking time and then having a harvest, right? Well, number two is we need to choose to plant the word in our hearts. So number one is we got to realize this is a lifelong process. It's not a sprint. We're not going to be faith giants next week. Well, maybe we will be. But, you know, life can be like this, but make sure it's always like this. With him and without him. Just stay with him. It always improves. It always gets better. You become more and more like him each passing day if you just keep yielding to him and following him. So we need to choose to plant the word of God in our heart. You know what? I'm not going to read through that passage. I was thinking about it, but you need to look that one up. Now, this is the sower, sows the word. The reason I wanted us to look at it and consider it a little is because it lists some situations where the word of God is sown, and some falls on stony ground, right? Some falls on shallow ground. There's some that falls on good ground. Now, we're all here in church on Sunday, and our hearts are good ground for the word. We give our hearts to Jesus. Now, we may not always make decisions that are good ground based. We might find in life that once in a while we do some things that are more like stony ground, and then we have to get back on track. The truth is, Jesus paid for it all. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior, it didn't stop us from being human. This is a lifelong process where we grow. And he said when he returns, we'll know him because we'll be like him. We may not be that much like him today. It's a growing process. When the farmers seed over the next little while, and some seed early, depending on where they are and the moisture in the ground, some crops pop up. You'll drive by some areas, and there's a field where you can already see it's popping up above the surface. You'll drive by the next field, and you don't see anything yet, but they were seeded at the same time. Different seed, different soil, different moisture. Eventually, they all come up. We're in a lifelong process of change here. Don't be discouraged when you do something that you wouldn't think that you should have done. Paul went through it himself. The Apostle Paul, not my buddy Paul, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. He said, this wretched man that I am, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this? It's the author and the finisher of our faith who's going to deliver us from this. But we keep growing, and we're with him. And we make as many decisions as we can with him. What would Jesus do? I'm with him, not without him. When we mess it up and we make a stupid decision that would want to drag us down here, we just repent and get right back with him. The stone's been rolled away. We don't have to wallow around and fall away and drift away and run from him. We run to him. Number three, stay thirsty, my friend. You guys recognize that dude? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. Guaranteed in the word of God, the words of Jesus, you are going to be filled, not just a little bit. Like if I was a hollow vessel and someone said he was filled with the Holy Spirit, how much is that? That's filled. Not this piece, and then stops there. But filled. That's you. That's Jesus' guaranteed word to you. He's the finisher of our faith. We stick to him. If you stick with Jesus, he'll stick with you. You stick with the Holy Spirit, he'll stick with you. You stick with the body of Christ, we'll stick with you. You stick with Pastor, he'll stick with you. We don't quit when we get discouraged or when someone offends us, or we don't run somewhere else as soon as something happens that doesn't make us feel, oh, there's no anointing there. Yes, there is an anointing here. The presence of God is in the house. It's in this family. And we're all on this growth. And some started way after you and some before. So, and of course, there's different things and circumstances and things in our life. So we all grow at a different rate. So somebody's going to do something that doesn't really please you who's up here, and they do something that's kind of down here. Well, so what? If you're up here, forgive. If you can't forgive, you're not really up there. You just think you're up there, and you're really... Forgive. Walk in love. Stick with God. Stick where God's planted you. You can transplant plants, but it takes a while for them to get that root going, and they wilt a lot. It's way easier to just grow big and strong in one place, where the food and the water is constant. The pot here is not too small. If we outgrow the church, we'll add services, right, Pastor? If we fill it, we'll fill it again. And then we'll fill it a third time. And then we'll build. And then we'll buy more land. Hey, you know what? Fill this lot and put parking across 43rd and build an overpass for people to walk on. It's not too difficult for God. We just get so, don't run away when you're challenged, because James wrote, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, because faith is working patience in you, and faith and endurance or patience together can change the world. I'm looking for some people to hang out with that are believing for revival. I want to see this city so radically changed. I want to see this church light this city on fire. I remember years ago them talking about the Toronto blessing. I want to see the Spirit of God pour out so much here that looked like a hiccup in comparison. When people come in wheelchairs and walk out, that's what I want to see. And it can happen in this house. And it doesn't take some special it takes people hungry for God more than anything else. That just say, God, use us, and run full tilt. Your whole heart. Pastor Karen prayed this morning before service. That verse came out. You'll find him when you search for him with all your heart. Man, that's what it's all about. He just wants our whole heart. Okay, we're almost done. Be consistent. Now, we need to stay teachable and humble. Know-it-alls and told-you-sos aren't, you know, going to be moving in the Holy Ghost. It's remaining teachable. But we need to be consistent. If we want to have this victorious life and really the power of God raining down around us and changing our family, our home, our marriage, our physical bodies, and our church and our friends, and just the whole city, just rocked by what God's doing. People talking all over about what God's doing at City Light. We want that. We need to be consistent. We need to stay spiritually fed. So you need to be here on Sundays. Because pastor is anointed of God to pastor. That's what he's called to do. And pastoring means shepherding. So we think it's a light thing sometimes. But if you heard that Jesus was going to be here next Sunday, I'll bet it, no matter what you had planned, you'd be here next Sunday. Well, Jesus, the same spirit that raised him from the dead is in our pastor, and God gives him a word that we need, not that somebody at another place, that we need. And it's to guide and direct us to the very thing that God wants for us as a church and as an individual and as a family, as a couple. God's anointed him to do that. And that's his gifting and his calling, and the Spirit supplies. It doesn't, and we want to be filled full, and that's a promise from Jesus, we'd be filled full. So let's make sure that when Jesus decides to feed us, we're right there to receive. And can you imagine you come home from work one day and your wife is dressed really attractively and nice and her makeup's all done and her hair's perfect and she's got this big barbecued steak ready for you sitting on the plate and it's just hot and steaming and the veggies and cheesecake for dessert. And she says, "You work so hard, honey. You work so hard that I made this for you." And she's just looking, and you're just looking at her like, "Oh, man." Now, what about if you just didn't say, "No, that's okay. I'm not hungry. I just go downstairs and watch TV. Put your feet up." You are missing out. And that's what it's like when we're not here on Sunday. Just so you can remember, Jesus has prepared exactly what we need. So let's be here. And I'm not a paid representative. This is not a paid advertisement from Pastor Doug. It is... I am telling you the truth, how we can continue to grow to be exactly where God wants us to be, on time, every time. Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Some people look at that and go, "Oh, that's heavy." I look at it and go, "Yeah, whatever I sow, I'm going to reap." So when I choose to forgive somebody because they did something nasty or stupid, I know I got that coming back when I do something nasty or stupid. And you know, if I ever offend you, it's not because I meant to. Honestly, I'm just not always the sharpest guy. And I could say something just ignorant or stupid and accidentally offend you. So know that up front. But any of us can do that. We could say something without thinking. Or say something that wouldn't offend us and we just thought, you know, we were joking around, but somebody gets offended. I don't want to be the one that does that, but we're human. It happens. I want to sow forgiveness so that when I need it, I can have a harvest of forgiveness. And I want to sow in the offering so when I need the finances, oh, thank you, when I call on God, I can have a harvest. I want to sow into people's lives. So when I am really going through some tough stuff, there's someone sowing into my life. Yeah, that's just the way it works. It's not a bad, heavy verse. Whatsoever a man, and God's not mocked. This is absolute law spiritually. What we sow, we're going to reap. Sow as much good stuff as you can. As much good stuff as you can. Patience, kindness, generosity, helpfulness, money. As much as you can. You know, last week we had a group of guys here, and they were looking for a sponsor for a young man at the Haven, what's it called? Teen Challenge. Yeah, I can't remember that. I think it's Green something, the one that they were from near Calgary. These are the kind of things when God moves on your heart, just grab hold of it. Don't, "Oh, I don't really have enough for that. Should I? If God touches your heart, just obey. And he'll figure out the finances. If God moves your heart, just obey. These are the kind of opportunities God just throws at us. And like I said, God's not mocked. If we just sow, we'll reap. Okay, what am I doing for time? I'm pretty much done. That's good. What makes Easter so special? What did Jesus really accomplish? We're his workmanship in Christ Jesus. His workmanship. You're not doing this on your own. It's him working on you. Just yield. To God, think about this. We are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. When you're out in the workplace, Dave, God looks down and he sees the fragrance of Jesus going through that whole day, wherever you go. Same thing for you, Burton. You're on a job somewhere, and he just senses this Jesus everywhere you go. We're the fragrance. I have this cologne. It's called Versace. I'm not an advertising for Versace, but they have this men's one that Doug can even verify. We went to a restaurant together one time, and the waitress says, "What are you wearing?" It just works good with my body chemistry, I guess, but this happens to me a lot. We do some work at a big box store, and I've had a girl follow behind. Like, she walks across and then just sort of follow me and asks me, "What is that? I want to get some for my boyfriend." Well, we're the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. We smell like him. That's God on us and in us and around us. We're like that. Now, the more we can be here on Sunday and be fed what we need, the more we can spend a little time in prayer and hear God's voice and yield to him, the more like him we become, and the more of a light we become in dark places, where people come up and ask you things, and they look scary and weird and strange, and they come up and ask you things, or when they're in trouble, they ask you to pray. People you would think would never, because you're so much like him. And that's what it's all about. That's what Easter did for us. We're established in righteousness. We're free from the law of sin and death. The cross, the stone being rolled away, means everything. We're the sons and daughters of God. Think about that. That one gets me every time. That this guy that used to be the way I was, that God would call me his son. Jesus says he's not afraid to call me his brother. Lifted me up to sit with him in heavenly places. Reigning in life. That's awesome. We're reigning in life. We're not defending in life. We're reigning in life. We're elect of God. You are the elect of God. We're complete in him. Not incomplete or maimed or complete in him. You're not short of anything you need. The Spirit of God's in you. Just believe and pray and stick with him. We're servants of the Most High. We're imitators of Jesus. Jesus is our Lord, and he conquered it all. And now we got to just run with him, full tilt. Live the victorious life. Reign with Christ. Don't be burdened down with circumstances, but just run with Jesus. Confess the word over your circumstances and expect them to change. We're more than conquerors. He's an awesome God. We're walking in the shadow of the Savior, and he casts a big shadow. You're never going to be out of that shadow, ever. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time together in your word. I thank you, Lord, that every heart is good ground. Every heart in this room is good ground for you, for your word. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to retain these things. And now for those of you, everybody keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. For those of you that don't feel like you're right where you need to be with God, maybe you've asked him into your heart in the past, but you haven't been living right. You've just been running your own way. And now you're feeling like, man, you're missing something. And those of you, maybe there's some here, I don't know, but you know. There's some here that aren't confident that they've ever really asked Jesus into their heart, that they've never made him Lord of their life. I want to lead you in a short prayer. We're all going to pray it together so you don't feel shy or intimidated in any way. And after we pray, I want everybody to keep their heads bowed, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because the Lord asks us to confess it before man. So it'll just be me and you. Let's all pray this together now for the comfort and just the protection of the personal interests of those that don't know Jesus yet. We're going to all pray it together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my past. I believe what I've heard about you. That you went to the cross for me. that you were raised from the dead, and you're seated in heavenly places. Wash me of all sin. Help me to live for you. Help me to get it right, to not fall back in sin, but to walk with you. I'm asking you this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.